you've heard the story. Little fame and lesser glory. Knight, the keeper of the inn. The little town of Bethlehem. Encountered Joseph and his Mary. About to birth the savior of the world. His wife said, go and see who's knocking. He ran down to the gate, unlocked it. The moment he heard Mary's cry, he couldn't look them in the eye. The men went back to bed. When his wife asked who was dead, he said, I don't know. Just a girl, just a couple gypsies begging at the door. Told them we don't have room for any more. And closed the door. It was just a girl. Tried to sleep and wasn't able. He snuck out to the dirty stable. To it found for covering. And later in her suffering, the keeper knelt outside the barn. And in the light of that great star, he prayed, what have I done? He's just a babe, just minutes old, there trembling in the hay. I could have found a room for them to stay. I'm so ashamed. He's just a babe. There was no road. There was no crown. The shepherd stood on royal ground. The keeper wept for what he'd done. He turned away God's own son. Just a king. Just a million angels crowding in to see Jesus there among humanity. Just a babe, just a minute, so they're trembling in the hay, staring at his mother in the face. She's just a girl, just a girl. Does she even know that she just changed the world? Does she even know that he will save the world? Does Mary know that he will save the world? She's just a girl. Just a girl.
Just a girl. Just a girl. Who was Mary? Maybe 15 years old, 16, engaged to be married. Just a poor girl from Nazareth, unknown, insignificant, nobody of consequence, yet highly favored by God. Imagine an angel showing up in your bedroom to tell you you have found favor with God. Oh my. How could this be, right? That's what she said. In everyone else's eyes, Mary was insignificant, just another wave in the endless surf. But not to God. Mary was incredibly significant, highly favored. Imagine God choosing to take up residence in a human being. That is significance, right? Mary didn't see herself as significant. Listen to her humility and awe in Mary's response to her divine favor. Abby, do you want to read? Abby's going to read Luke 2, 46 through 56. Luke 1. Yeah, if you want to use the microphone over here. Which is like a place for you.
And my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he had said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Thank you. That's Mary's song. It's Mary's response to what happened, to this divine favor. And I find it significant. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. She knew the significance of this. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Mary received her significance directly from God. Nobody else had to decide she was significant. God decided and everyone else had to follow along, right? And Mary's heart here is filled with praise and wonder that he would choose her. But look where she goes next. Verse 50, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Mary's not the only significant one. God's favor extends itself to all who fear him in every generation. That's ours. God's favor has reached out in our generation. We are significant to him too. To those who fear him. Why do we have to fear him? Picture a very, very poor person approaching a king. This person is destitute, dressed in rags, in desperate need of help. How is that person going to approach a king? Probably like this, right? Humbly, eyes down, not looking up, just in this spirit of humility, reverence, timidity, even slightly fear. That's the picture we should have as we approach God. That's us. That's our position before him. We're in absolute poverty. Just like Mary. Mary had it right. We're in desperate need of his grace. We may not need certain things from him. We may feel like we've got it together, but we are desperately in need of his grace. And so that's how Mary approaches God, just in this humility. Who am I? So she declares that God's mercy extends to those who fear him, generation to generation. And I would suggest that when we fear God respectfully, as you should when approaching a king, we don't have to fear him with terror like they feared King Herod. You know much about King Herod? He was the guy who was ruling at the time when Mary was with child. This guy was a nut. He was crazy. He was so insecure. When he thought his son wanted to take his place as king, he had him killed. His son had him killed. He was threatened by him. And the craziest thing is that was not a one-time incident, like, oh, what have I done? He did this again with his wife. Had his wife executed. Nobody's safe in the presence of Herod. He's the one who declared, kill all the babies 2 years and under in Bethlehem. This guy was crazy. Kill these babies because I'm afraid one might be a king. Nobody's safe around King Herod. God is a good king, and God extends his scepter of mercy to all who approach him with humility. There's a significant contrast there. Mary looks to God. She's not worried about the king. So God has accepted her. He has received her. But God goes beyond just accepting us. He favors us. Almost, I want to be careful here, almost like he favored Mary. Like, we are not the Blessed Virgin. I mean, she bore Jesus. But we receive him into ourselves as well, right? And there's something very significant about that. He does favor us like he favored Mary, probably not to the same level. I just want to be careful there. But he favors us like he favors Mary. And I want to show you a verse in Ephesians that I keep coming back to that gives evidence to this. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. If you don't have that passage memorized, you need that. When you get discouraged, when you're down, when you want to remember what's true, okay, God, you chose me. Before the creation of the world, you saw me, you chose me, you wanted me. Do you understand what this is saying? He chose us, he adopted us according to his pleasure and will. This is telling us, that verse telling us that Mary's not the only significant one. You are deeply significant in the eyes of God. And maybe you feel like you're just another wave in the endless surf sometimes and just struggle to find significance. God doesn't see you that way. God does not see you that way. God sees you as precious. And I wonder if you just consider, ask yourself, have I received my significance from him? Have I received my significance from him? That's a huge, huge thing. And it is so powerful when you do. What happens when you receive your significance directly from God? What does it matter what other people think of you? What other people say of you? When you've been highly favored by God. Think of Matthew, the despised tax collector turned disciple of Christ. So what if people despise me for who I was? They did. I've been chosen by Jesus Christ. How about the woman caught in adultery? She's brought to Jesus by these religious leaders who would love to have her killed. And Jesus loves her. He gives her freedom. So what's she thinking? Okay, so these people despise me, and that's probably not going to stop, but Jesus receives me. Which of those two perspectives is going to make a greater impact in my mind? Now, this is not so you can start looking down on everybody. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. I'm above you. That's not what this is about. This is so that we don't allow other people's judgment of us to have as much power as it does. Because that happens, right? What other people think of us, what other people say of us can be really heavy. Well, you are favored by God. That can really affect how you receive things that come. So I would, one of the things that I want to see happen is that through thinking about these things, you would allow God's view of you to affect you more. It's not realistic to say that what people are going to say and do is not going to affect you at all. That's not realistic. But God's view of you can affect you more and can help you overcome those things. How do you measure your significance? How do you measure it? You don't have to answer it, but I want you to think about that. How do you measure your significance? Most of us measure it wrong. Don't let your significance be measured by pats on the back, by the amount of your raise this year, by your friend count on Facebook, the number of kids you have, or how well-behaved they happen to be today. Do we measure our significance by those things? Don't measure it by what's in your bank account. How many people are in your church? That one's for me. Your real significance is measured in the distance God was eager to travel to come find you. That's how you measure your significance. How far was God willing to travel to come find you? You are so you cannot possibly be any more significant than you already are right now. What does that do for you? That's a place of amazing freedom. That's what God wants to have for you. So that's something you can get caught up in the wonder of. That's a piece of this wonder that we want to have this Christmas season. This is amazing. This is incredible. Think about this. That verse, what happens at the end of that verse? That is pleasure. God actually thought about you before the world was created. He thought about you. He wrote your name on a list of to be adopted. And as he's writing your name, he's smiling. It was his pleasure and his will to choose you. Think about that. That is so powerful. You are significant. And when your significance comes from God, nobody can take it away. Problem is, a lot of times in our minds, our significance doesn't come from God. And we're still struggling for significance when, in fact, we already have it. This is something that's, there's a power that's very, very deep here. No surgeon can reach the depth of significance. This is something that warms your blood. It fills you with peace on earth, and shifts the way you look at life. So I want to go back to Mary again and take a look at her situation. If she has this significance, she also has a pretty difficult situation, and I want you to see how her sense of worth plays into her situation. So how was her outlook affected as she faced some pretty terrifying stuff? Think about Mary. Think about what Mary had to go through here. Think about the position she's in right now. Angel shows up. You're going to have a baby, right? You're pregnant, Mary. She's engaged. She's never been sexually involved with her fiance or anyone else for that matter. She's pregnant. Who's going to believe her angel story? It was an angel. That had not happened before. If you tend to be a worrier, you think you might have a little something to worry about if you're Mary right now? What in the world is going to happen? This is crazy. From a human perspective, what doesn't Mary have to be worried about? What? Humans. From a human perspective, what doesn't she have to worry about? She's bombarded with potential stress here. Think through the larger Christmas story. Think about other things. Okay, she was announced to be pregnant. Fast forward 8.5 months, right? She's large. What's happening now? What's happening? She's maybe kicking back at home and just waiting for this baby to come, right? Wrong. Do you remember what happened? Of all times for the Roman Emperor, Caesar Augustus, to issue a census. Why does it have to be now? The census means you got to travel back to your hometown, Joseph's hometown. They got to travel on foot and by donkey about 100 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. 100 miles. 8.5, 9 months pregnant. Think about that. Those of you who had children, think about it. Doctor says, don't travel any outside of it. You're talking about driving. She's riding a donkey. That's not a smooth ride. Ann and I had all four of our kids in Allentown, about 17 miles from here. 17 miles. I'm just trying to get a comparison. This is 100 miles. Just those of you who've gone through this process, and even if you haven't, imagine you've got to load your majorly pregnant wife into a wheelbarrow and start walking her to Allentown. Can you imagine? Okay, my wife's going to have a baby soon. Time to go. This is awkward. This is difficult. This is stressful. 100 miles, and when you get there, there's no hospital. There's no running water. Is there anything to worry about for a first-time mom? I understand they didn't have the normal things that we have, but this is stressful anyway. We don't see worry in Mary's face. We see wonder. We see awe. Thankfully, God did bring about that solution for Mary when she's worried about Joseph and what's he going to do. God sends an angel to Joseph too and says, hey, her story's true. It's okay. It's okay. Take her in. And so they got past that one. And then they get through this traveling 100 miles just before they have the baby. But overall, as you look at Mary, her wonder stems off her worry. Staying in this place of wonder fights the worry. And there's one more worrisome event that has stuck out to me over the years. After Jesus is born, he's healthy, everything's okay. Jesus is 8 days old, so according to the law, they go to the temple, they're going to dedicate Jesus to the Lord. That's what parents did 8 days in. And while they're doing this, they don't expect anything out of the ordinary, but this really old priest approaches them, and he says something that would be disturbing to any mother at any age. He blesses them. He announces this baby's going to bring salvation. This is good. This is good. Then he had, oh, and one more thing. By the way, Luke 2:34. Simeon blessed them, said to Mary's mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. A sword will pierce your soul. I don't know how you take that, but how would you take that in a good way? By the way, Mary, as the future of your baby unfolds, a sword will pierce your soul. Have a nice day. What does that mean? And do you see Mary stricken with terror? No. She's not worrying. She's marveling. Verse 33 says the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. They're marveling. They're in wonder. And that fights the worry. Mary has an impressive attitude. I think it would be hard to argue against that. She has an incredible perspective. Even though she has a lot of reason to get lost in her worries, we don't see that. We see her lost in wonder. And I think what you see happening, if we want to transfer it, human perspective is eclipsed by the divine, and Mary's in awe. Human perspective is eclipsed by the divine. So as we think about, you know, you've got worries. Some of you have really, really heavy worries. Some of you have just normal, typical Christmas worries. But I want us to fight against that and not get caught up in our worries, but to get caught up in wonder, because it's an amazing thing that's happened. So think about where you're at. You lost in your worries, or are you lost in wonder? I want to bump you in the direction of getting lost in wonder. Wonder is the emotion, the perspective we want to be dominated with. This Christmas season, I mean, all the time really, but especially now, I want to be dominated by wonder and awe and worship. Would you rather be lost in your worries or lost in wonder? Really, come on. Do you like to be lost in worries? Do you like to be stressed out? We don't have to live there. We don't have to live there. Mary had plenty she could have been really anxious about. She could have been freaking out from day one all the way to the end. And I bet you have plenty of things to be stressed out and worried about too. Plenty. We don't have to be overcome by those things. There's a way to overcome that. Our worries find their foothold in a human perspective. Our wonder finds its fulfillment in the divine perspective. So you got to decide where you're going to live. In this human, shallow, like this is my life, or in the divine, wow, God is over this and he has chosen me. Where are you going to let your mind rest? Where are you going to let your mind park? Human perspective says, there's so much to do, there are things to buy, people to please, not enough time, not enough money, what'll I do? That's the human perspective. That's where we're going to naturally fall into. The divine perspective says, peace, be still. Jesus has come, and he has chosen you. Have you received your significance from God? Directly from Him. It's true, our lives are short. Sometimes they feel insignificant. The Bible describes our human lives as a mist or a vapor, like the breath that you breathe on a cold morning. That's your life. That's how it describes. So this idea of an endless wave rolling in, you know, my life is just one of those waves just rolling in and then it's gone. And that's about right, the way the Bible describes it, except for one thing. Jesus is on the shore and He's watching your wave intently with passion and deep care. He's watching your wave roll in and it matters to Him. Receive your significance from God. Rest in that reality. He chose you. He's thinking about you, smiling before creation happened. Let that catch you up and put you in the place of wonder this Christmas. Let that affect you profoundly as other waves are smacking against you. What has God done in sending Jesus to earth? How can this be? It is. Take some time just to quietly pray about where you're at with your worries. I'm not going to itemize all the worries you might have. You know what they are. But just take them before Him and ask Him to maybe make a trade that you could be lost in wonder instead.
Child is this you lay to rest on Mary's lap sleeping, and angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds God. To bring Him on the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies He in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians fear for sinners, the silent word. Shepherds guard and angels, haste to bring Him on the babe, the Son of Mary.
You stand and sing with us.
So bring Him incense, gold and myrrh, a peasant king to own, the King of Kings. Salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone Him. Raise a song on high, the virgin sings her love out. Joy for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds, God, and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring Him on, the babe, the Son of Thank you.
adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Father, we come to you in awe and wonder at what you've done. And Lord, we're going to slip out of here soon and be right back into the worries. Lord, protect us from that. Prevent us from that. Let the wonder remain and build. Let the wonder build throughout these next weeks, that our worship would just naturally flow out of us every day. You are amazing in what you've done. The way you've reached out to us, the distance you traveled, the distance from your holiness to our sinfulness is greater than any length. So we thank you, Lord, and pray that you'll help us to wonder. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.